right, we'll go ahead and try to preach a little bit this morning.
Late, I know we're not coming back tonight, but I don't want to keep you here through the night service. If I preach up until that time, I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go ahead and take up another offering, and we'll let one of these other men hook up where I leave off, and we'll go right on from there. Would that be all right? And, well, I heard one amen. You're weak today. You're weak, church. All right. Good to have everybody today. Good. Appreciate our mothers. Appreciate Mother's Day. And you're blessed if you've got a mother that loves you, took care of you, cooked for you, wiped your little old snotty runny nose when you was little, changed your diaper. And somebody said, oh, said the other day, said, you know, it's a strange thing. Said a lot of men today, said they come into the world and it's not long till they're wearing a diaper, and said some of them die going out wearing a diaper. And that's true. Because some come in bald-headed and some go out bald-headed. Amen. And all come in naked. But you don't have to go out naked. You can go out clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 1, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I want to preach for a little while out of this chapter this morning. You stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll just read the first 9 verses, because I'm going to really be dealing with some verses on over in the chapter as well as chapter 2. And on the thought. And I really don't have a title. I think I'm just going to title it The Life of Hannah. All right, Brother Robert. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, an Ephratite. And he had 2 wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah and his wife and all her sons and her daughter's portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. And therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. I'm going to put off reading right there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the good time this morning in song service and recognizing our mothers. What a precious time that was indeed. I thank you for them so much. I pray, Lord, that you'll take the generation that's being raised. Help them to understand the love of a mother. Help them to love their mothers as they should. Help mothers to watch over and protect their own children. Keep them from harm and sin and evil from that wicked one. I ask you, Lord, to bless and save sinners today. Do help those that are here, Brother Andy and others, that are sick this morning and those that are away from us that have special needs in their life. Bless them, I pray. Give good grace now and divine help. Anoint the preachers. I stand and help me to be a blessing to your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to preach to you a little while. I guess that we might title the message this morning, The Life of Hannah. Hannah was the wife of a man by the name of Elkanah. He also had a second wife, and her name was Peninnah. And the Bible said that this was a very spiritual man, that he went up every year to Shiloh where to sacrifice under the Lord of hosts. And there was there Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were the priests of the Lord that were there. Now, I want to say a couple of things about Hannah. Hannah was not just an ordinary woman. If you'll read these first couple of chapters about this lady, you'll find that there was something different about her. She was not just an ordinary woman. Neither was she just an ordinary wife. But even beyond that, she was not an ordinary mother, not at all. Her character was very extraordinary. This woman had a character. I've studied it out a little bit. And I think she has a character that would be second to none of any woman that I've studied about in the Word of God. And it had to be that way. And it had to be that way because she was to become the mother of Samuel. And Samuel was one of the most outstanding prophets in the Old Testament Scripture. The Bible says about him that not one word that he spoke of the Lord fell to the ground. In other words, everything that he prophesied of and everything that he dealt with was for the good. It didn't fall to the ground. It came to pass in reality. And, you know, they talk about preachers today that they ought to be great men of love and that they ought to be. And that they say that people ought not to have any fear of their pastor. Well, you know, I could read a piece in this Bible, in this particular book of the Bible, where Samuel went up to a certain city one day, and when he came, they asked him, said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Yeah, I come peaceably." And the reason they asked him that is because he was a man. He was a very feared man. He had great power. He had great power with God. And his mother, Hannah, was a very special woman indeed. And I want to look at four or five things about her this morning, if I may. The Bible said that every year they would go up and offer in Shiloh, and that Elkanah would give portions unto Peninnah and her sons, but he gave a worthy portion unto Hannah. But the only problem with her was the Bible said that the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb, that she could not bear children. And you know, it was back then, I doubt that it's that way today, but it was back then that if a woman could not bear a child, it was a reproach to her. And so Hannah wanted a child. And I'll get into that in just a moment. God gave her that child. But the Bible said that when they would go up to worship God, that Peninnah was an adversary to Hannah. And the Bible said that she would provoke her sore and would cause Hannah to fret a great deal. And so I want to look at that provocation for just a little while. Why would the Lord allow her to be provoked by Elkanah's other wife? I think the truth lies in what I've already mentioned, that she was a woman of great character, and that it was Hannah that was to bring into this world a man by the name of Samuel. Now, if you look at the Bible, And I don't have time to go down through them all the way through the Bible. But there's been great men in the Word of God that, and the Lord has always used a particular man and his wife, and especially the woman, to bring that man-child into the world. We could talk about Samson. God used a great woman, a godly woman, to bring Samson into the world. We could talk about John the Baptist. And God used a godly woman and a man to bring John the Baptist into this world. We could talk about the Lord, and there's no doubt about it. The Lord used a very gracious woman in Mary to bring the Lord into this world. And so it was with Samuel. He wasn't an ordinary man, and it wasn't to be an ordinary woman that brought him into the world, but a woman of great character. And every year that they went up to worship, the Bible said that her adversary provoked her. But why would she be provoked? Well, I believe she was provoked for the purpose of being tried. God was trying her, and the provocation from Peninnah was even so intense in provoking her that the Bible said that she was provoked sore. And then it says, goes on to say, that she fretted about that. And I just took a little time to look up that word fret, and it means to violently agitate. I don't know how many people we've got in here this morning that are young enough to remember the old washing machines. And they had in them what's called an agitator. And that agitator would jump up and down and spin just a little backwards and forth to get those clothes clean. And it tumbled and agitated those clothes on the inside. And that's basically what Peninnah was doing to Hannah. She was mocking her. She was, what we might say today, poking fun at her because she was able to bear children and Hannah wasn't. And the Bible said that it caused Hannah to become very agitated. That word also means to crack like thunder. Now, I got to thinking about that. And if she got so agitated that she cracked like thunder, but yet the Bible says nothing at all here anywhere in the Word of God where Hannah ever raised her voice one time. She never raised her voice one time. Here is a woman that had so much character that she was provoked to the point that she became agitated so much that I believe on the inside she may have had some sort of aggravation that caused her to, on the inside, express herself how she felt about the way she was being treated by this other wife of Elkanah. But yet she had so much grace about her that she wasn't about to let one ounce of that agitation that out of her, the ill feeling that she had. She wasn't going to let anyone else see that at all. Amen. She had so much grace and so much humility that she was able to hold that on the inside and not express herself. Now, may I say to you, if there had been a lot of women today that were being provoked by somebody, brother, I mean, they're not going to hold it back. I've been around some women that I call them loudmouth women. Loudmouth women. And they get upset just a little bit, and they're going to let everybody around them know that they're upset. But not so with Hannah. Hannah took the provoking and the mocking and the agitation by the grace of God and never opened her mouth one time. She just simply maintained that character within herself and absolutely said nothing. All that the people, they only saw her humility and her broken heart. In fact, the Bible said there in verse number 8 that Elkanah asked her, "Why weepest thou?" She didn't get upset and angry and express her anger toward his other wife. She just simply wept with a broken heart and prayed unto God for the desire of her heart. And that was that the Lord would give her a child. Now, she was faithful. Hannah was faithful, not just both to the Lord, to her husband, and was faithful to the Lord also. And she never one time, the Bible said that Elkanah gave a portion to Peninnah and her children, but said to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. That is, he gave her more. He gave her more than what he gave Peninnah and all her children together. But now here on one hand is Peninnah that is provoking Hannah and mocking her because her womb is shut up. She had no children. But look at me, I've got the children. Oh, but look at Hannah. She is getting a worthy portion. She is getting more than what Peninnah had. But yet you don't hear her boast one thing about it. Wouldn't it have been something if when Peninnah said, "Your womb is closed up and I've got children." Why, Hannah could have just as easily turned to Peninnah and said, "You may have more children, but I've got more than what you've got."
Right.
And she did have more than what Peninnah had. But not one time did she ever boast about what God had given her through her husband. She just very patiently, very humbly, very quietly accepted what God had for her. She wept. She prayed. She sought the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, in the end thereof, God gave her the desires of her heart. Now, ladies, I said that to say all this. I think a mother ought to be she ought to have a quiet and a humble spirit about her. Isn't that what Peter said in his writing? That a woman ought to be like Sarah and have a quiet and a humble and a meek spirit about her. And she should. I'm telling you, I've been around some women that I just cannot tolerate being around. I mean, if they get an opportunity, but hey, we've got this world today is in a mess.
Right.
We've got women wanting to tell men what to do.
Right.
And a whole lot of them are telling men what to do. And the sad part of that is a whole lot of them women and the men they're telling are their husbands that they're telling what to do. That's right. God have mercy on us. But it was not so with Hannah. She was just quiet and meek and humble and never one time expressed herself, didn't one time boast about her having more than what Peninnah had, even though she was being provoked by Peninnah. She never one time rebuked her. She didn't one time get angry with her. The Bible doesn't say that she said anything out of order under her. She took the rebuke and went on. Now I'm going to say, can I say this to you? People today would be a lot better off if we would take rebuke and keep our mouth shut and go on down the line. So many people today, when they're rebuked, hey, rebuke a wise man and he'll learn more. But I'm going to tell you, rebuke a fool and he'll turn on you. Here is a woman that, hey, she has shifted. There was ever a person that had a right to rebuke somebody for the way they were being treated. It was Hannah, but she never one time opened her mouth. Now I'm telling you, we can learn a great lesson from that this morning, church.
Amen.
All of our mothers could take a great lesson. Just be a mother with a meek and a humble and a quiet spirit. And I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, you don't understand. The only way I can get something done is to make it known in a real rough way. No, I'm going to tell you how she got things done. I'll get there in a minute. She got things done on her knees in a closet of prayer along with God and telling God what she needed. Now I'm going to tell you, God was good to her and blessed her and provided for her what she needed and gave her a son by the name of Samuel that was, turned out to be a great prophet in Israel, and God used him mightily in the work of God. Amen. Now, she never boasted of her portion, says so in verse number 5, and she never complained. She never complained to anybody but the Lord in prayer. The Bible does say on over in the chapter that when she prayed, she poured out her complaint to the Lord. But she never complained one time about the mockings that she got. And not once. And, you know, that's a good lesson as well. We're to learn that. There's so many complainers today. I want this and I want that. And these folks today that would complain if God give them a goose that laid a golden egg 3 times a day, buddy, I'm telling you, they'd complain about it. They'd want 4. But not Hannah. She never complained one time. She never even complained to her husband. She didn't say, Elkanah, if you don't tell her to shut up, I'm leaving the house. Buddy, I'll put a restraining order against you. I'll keep you out in the way. Not though. She wasn't a complainer. She was humble. She was quiet. And she was a meek, spirited woman. Somebody say amen right there. But the Lord, she complained to the Lord in prayer. And then, she worshiped the Lord. The Bible said they went up yearly and worshiped God. Now, Mama, do we have mothers in here today that are humble? Do we have mothers in here today that never complain? Do we have mothers in here today that complain about what kind of a home you have? What kind of an automobile you're driving? How much money your husband makes? Come on in the house. What kind of clothes you have to wear? She never complained. Oh, no. And she worshiped the Lord. When they went up to the house of God, she was able to worship the Lord. And ladies, if there was ever a time when we need some mamas that will worship God, it's the hour we're living in. I don't think that people understand how much spiritual things we receive by worshiping Almighty God. And she didn't worship Him by running the aisle. She didn't jump in the pews. The Bible said that she just wept. That she went up to the house of God in Shiloh and she prayed and she wept. In fact, I'll get there in a minute. Her praying, she didn't even pray out loud. She prayed within her heart. She was just a woman. I got a good one here. She was a woman of few words. Oh yeah. She didn't have a whole lot to say. Very few words. But I'm going to tell you, the words she spoke was spoken to the one that had the power to grant unto her the desires of her heart. And all of us would be better off today if we would learn that God is the one that has the ability to grant unto us the desires of our heart and not bellyache and grumble about what we have. Hey, listen to me. But if we'll be thankful for what God has done for us, I'll guarantee you God will bless us more by us being grateful for what God's done than He will if we grumble and complain and gripe about what God's done for us and what God's given us. That's right. We're on to grumble and on to complain. Now, listen very carefully. That provoking that she had, that provocation, drove her to a place of prayer. Look at verse 10. The Bible said when she went up to Shiloh that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, can I say to you that her prayer, when she was praying, was a sacred prayer? Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because she was on holy ground. That woman got on some holy ground that most of us know very little about. And I'm going to tell you why. It goes on to say there in verse number 13 that she prayed from the heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we need to get on holy ground and pray from the heart, and watch, and God will do something for us.
Amen.
And we need mamas today. We need mothers today that understands what it means to get on holy ground. Hey, and realize that praying is something that is sacred. We treat prayer today like we can take it or leave it. No, I'm going to tell you, we can't take it or leave it, friend. It's something that we've got to have. Amen. Especially a mama that's got the responsibility that you women have in raising your family. You realize those children spend a whole lot more time with you than they do with daddy. They do. And you're going to be a far greater influence on them than what daddy is. You can say amen or oh me. It don't make a lick of difference to me. And I'm going to tell you, Mom, I know the correction belongs to daddy. I've heard that and I understand that. But Mom, I'm going to tell you, you better learn to correct them as well. And you better learn to love them as well. You better learn to train them up and to nurture them. Hey, it don't hurt to read a Bible with your children occasionally. It don't hurt to pray with them occasionally. It don't even hurt to sing a gospel hymn with them every now and then. Somebody said, well, it wouldn't be very pretty. It might not be pretty to somebody down here, but it would be to God. He just said, make a joyful noise in your heart unto the Lord, singing and making melody in your heart. Hey, God's not interested how beautiful a voice we got. God's interested in the condition of our heart and how our heart extends itself out to Him in worship and gives the hold of God in worship, ladies and gentlemen. And she was able to do that. You know, it doesn't say one thing about what Penn and I done when she got to Shiloh. Not one thing. It doesn't say anything about her praying, worshiping, nothing. But it sure does Hannah. But the provocation only drove her to prayer because she knew that God could give what she needed. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But that was sacred ground, it was holy ground, because it was prayed from the heart. May I say, hey, not only was it sacred ground, but it was silent. It was silent. She was heard by no one but the Lord. I marvel today at that.
Right.
It was a silent prayer. Oh, Eli looked at her and said, woman, how long are you going to remain drunk? Why don't you put away your wine? And she said, oh, said, I'm not a daughter of Belial. Said, but I'm a woman of a broken heart. And I'm praying to the Lord for a son. I want a boy. And I'll give that, God will give me a boy. I'll give that boy back to God all the days of his life. He shall be lent unto the Lord. No, Eli looked at her and said, hey, go in peace because your petitions have been granted. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Eli was a sorry rascal. There ain't no devil about that. He wasn't a very spiritual man, but I'll tell you, he had enough spirituality to know that that woman, ladies and gentlemen, had her heart in the right attitude that God could grant her the petition that she was praying and seeking of him. He said, go in peace, your petition has been granted. And it was.
Amen.
It wasn't long after that till God remembered Hannah. And she bare a child and called his name Samuel. That's exactly right. And so it was answered. Now listen carefully. It was answered. It was answered according to her desire and God's will. Now here, this is kind of, I hope I can get a hold of this. The Bible said, delight thyself in the Lord also, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. She had no desire for wealth. She had no desire for earthly possessions. She didn't want a new Cadillac every year. She wasn't interested in a nicer home. You know what she wanted? A man child. She wanted a boy. She wanted a baby. And hey, and because she had delighted herself in the Lord gave her the desire of her heart. It wasn't only the desire of her heart, but I'm going to tell you it was according to the will of God. Because the Bible goes on to say on over Ere that light went out in the temple, God called Samuel. And I'm going to tell you, hey, God had a purpose for that little boy, and God had a woman prepared to bring that little boy into the world. Call me what you want to call me, but it did not shock God. Amen. When Hannah was born, and God looked down and said, there's the woman that's going to bring Samuel into the world, my prophet, that is going to prophesy in the nation of Israel. And he did. He did. There's no doubt about it. That's right.
Yes, sir.
You better believe that's right. Amen. And she, it was, her prayer was answered according to her desire and according to God's will. God knew he had to have a man. Now, folks, I know what some of you are thinking. But God knew he had to have a man for Israel. And it wasn't going to be Saul. It was going to be David, but I'm going to tell you, God had to have a prophet before David. God had to have a Samuel at that time. The temple of the Lord was in a mess. The house of God was in a mess. There were two boys down there that were laying with the women at the door of the house of God and had an old daddy that didn't give a flip what they done. Hey, I hope that we got some mommies and daddies in here today that are concerned about what your children are doing and how they're growing up and how they're living their life. Because how they're living their life now, unless God gets a hold of them, is how they're going to live their life when they grow up.
Amen.
If they be without discipline now, I'll tell you, they probably won't have much when they grow up either.
Right.
Better believe that's right.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. God answered that prayer according to her desire and according to the will of God. She delighted herself in the Lord, and the Lord gave her the desires of her heart. Now, I want to look at her promise. Look in verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed will look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now I'm going to get to something right here, and I may be getting ahead of myself. I wonder how she knew that that boy would live for the Lord all the days of his life. I wonder how she knew that no razor would ever come to his head. I've got a pretty good idea. God needed a Samuel. And she made that vow to the Lord that if God had given her a man child, she'd give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. What about that? And I'm getting to where I want to get to. I don't see Samuel kicking against the pricks one time. I don't hear Samuel say, Mama, why'd you do me this way? What makes you think I want to be a man of God all the days of my life? What right do you have in dictating to me through the power of God how I'm going to spend my life? Oh, listen. Young people, look right up here and listen to me. I'm going to tell you what the problem is with young people today. Come on in the house. You can either like me or like, don't make no, but I'm going to tell you, young people today have lost their respect for their mamas and their daddies. They don't respect you, mom and dad, like you think they do. I'm going to tell you what they do. They wrap you around their little finger to get out of you what they want to get out of you and go on down the road laughing you and mocking you because they made you look like a fool in front of their peers. Now, you like that or not, that don't make no difference to me. I really don't care. But that's exactly what they're doing today. There's very little respect for mamas today. If I had a mama alive and could get to her I'd want to be with her today. I wonder, hey, and get this. Eli was so committed to his mother and so dedicated to his mother and was in such, under such authority of her, of his mother, that he never one time grumbled about God's will for his life.
Right.
He didn't say, he didn't go in and tell Eli, I'm going to pack up and go home. You know why he didn't? Because mama told him, I pray for you and I give you to the Lord and I expect you to live for God. You know what he was? He was an obedient child. He was an obedient child both to the Lord and to his mama. He did exactly God's will and mama's will for his life. I wonder how many of you young people in here are like that today. Oh, I know some of you. You run your mouth to your mamas and daddies. Back mouth mom and daddy. Talk about them behind their back. Come on in the house. It's preaching time. God have mercy. I'm going to tell you something, kids. They'll grow up. You'll grow up one of these days. And mamas and daddies will grow up. And they'll be gone. I'm going to tell you something. You better learn to love mama while you have mama. Amen. And be obedient to mama while you have mama. Amen. And give her a reason to love you. Hey, give your mama a reason to die with a love in her heart and the knowledge that you're saved by the grace of God and that you love her and you love the Lord and you're going to live for the Lord even after mama's dead. Come on now. It's preaching time now, friend. That's right. I've never seen such a generation of young people. It's what I'm seeing today. Mama and daddy speak to them, they act like their ears are plugged full of cement or something. Come on in the house. And some of you men ain't got enough backbone to correct them. Amen! I can tell by the way some of you let them conduct him. Do you think for one minute that Samuel conducted himself down at Shiloh the way some of our young kids act here in the house of God about Island Ford Baptist Church?
Amen.
I guarantee you he didn't.
Right.
I'm going to tell you why he didn't. He had a mama that went to see him every year and took him a little coat. But the Bible doesn't say one thing about him ever going back to see mama. You know why? Hey, it wasn't God's will. Hey, and it wasn't mama's will. Mama knew what she had vowed unto the Lord. She wasn't about to break that vow. And God gave her other children because she kept that promise that she had made to him.
Amen.
I'm going to say, God will bless us if we'll learn to, hey, to keep the promises and the vows we make to the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you mamas in here today said, oh, give me a child. And God give it to you. A daughter, a son. You've let that child run a little wild. I'm going to tell you, you'll regret it somewhere down the road.
Amen.
And how many of you young people in here today? I've heard of men smacking their mother. I want to say this in front of all of you in here. All of you. Don't let me see one of you young kids in here slap your mother.
Amen.
Because your daddy won't have time to get to you. Then if he wants to take it up with me afterwards, he'll just have to do it.
Amen.
God help us. That, hey, you can't read in there anywhere and find where that boy ever showed one ounce of disrespect to his mother. He had to know what God's will was for his life. He had to know the vow that she had made. And he honored that vow. Why? Because he loved his mama.
Amen.
That's right. I know a fellow once that knocked on the door of his daddy's house late at night, and his daddy never come to the door. And the boy jumped off the steps and said, well, just go to hell then. But oh my. God help us. That's right. I'm telling you, buddy. Hey, folks. Let's not try to grow up in a shell and act like we're not living in a real world. Son, there's a real world out there. And hey, and it is full of sin. And I'm telling you, mamas, that world is after your children. You'd be amazed at the men that will prey on you. Hey, I might as well blow it on out. Some of you kids in here can't get off of Facebook. You can't get off of texting. Now I'm telling you, you're dabbling around in stuff that can cost you your very life someday if you're not careful. There's idiots that's been killed because of the Craigslist. And I'm going to tell you, you let your children get on that Facebook junk if you want to, but I'm telling you, you're not very bright in doing it. I don't believe Hannah let Samuel do that. I don't believe Samuel would have wanted to do that because he didn't want to break his mama's heart. And I know there's family pictures and things on there and stuff like that. I know is not a thing offensive and there's not a thing wrong with it. But I also know, friend, how subtle the devil is. And I know how he can weasel and work himself into things. Are you listening to me? I'm just simply telling you, you better watch them. If there's any, hey, can I give you a warning sign? If you got a child that is creeping off into the bedroom, and they don't ever want to be out where you're at, and they want to be in a bedroom alone with themselves, especially if they've got a cell phone or an iPad or a computer, you better watch them. Oh, I've got mine screened. Nothing can get through it. I wouldn't bet on that. I don't know if you can screen a telephone or not, or an iPad. I don't know. You might, maybe you can. I don't know.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, they're playing with. And if they're off in a room all the time with their cell friend, I'm telling you, there's some things running through their mind that are not. They're not conducive to Christianity at all. I don't know how many of y'all heard. What about that 20-year-old boy the other day? And I know the crowd that I'm in. Now I'm going to try to be just as easy with this as I can. But a 20-year-old boy in a home invasion beat an 82-year-old World War II veteran, decorated veteran, till he was almost unconscious. And then raped his 82-year-old wife in front of him until she traumatized her till she died there in the bed. And a few hours later, the old man died at the hospital. And they caught the idiot driving the old man and woman's automobile. 20 years old. Somebody said, well, he was just one of a kind. No, he's one out of multiplied millions like him. Now, I'm going to tell you why he could treat that old woman that way. He had never shown an ounce of respect to his mother, and he had a daddy that had never taken him in hand and corrected him, and he got by with everything that he wanted to get by with. But I'm going to tell you, run up against something this time, and I don't think the law is going to let him get by with. God help us today. Somebody said, well, preacher, it had never happened to our children. That's what they all say. But it does happen. And it can happen to our children. And what I'm saying, children, is love your mothers. Hey, if you could only realize that your mother went down into the very jaws of death to bring you into this world. Somebody said, oh, preacher, how? What do you mean? Well, all you got to do is read about Rachel. When she brought little Benjamin into the world, the Bible said, and while her soul was in departing, Samuel was born. I mean, not Samuel, but Benjamin. She died giving childbirth to her baby boy. And I'm going to say, somebody said, well, that's just one. Oh, no, it's in olden times, it happened a whole lot more than that. You young boys in here, Man, help mom and daddy around. Help them. Love them. Mind them. Somebody said, but you don't understand what they want me to do. If they're right with God, they're never going to tell you to do one thing that's wrong. Oh, but I'm going to move out and I'm going to join the army so I don't have to be under no authority no more. Go ahead. In fact, I double dog dare you. You think you can get out under authority joining that military? Go on. You'll find out what authority is all about when that E6 sergeant rams his big head about 6 inches down your throat and screams at you so loud it blows your tonsils out. Somebody said, oh, they don't do it. They don't, huh? One of them gets up in your face and asks you a question that you know that if you answer it, you're in trouble. It don't make a difference what answer you give, you're going to be in trouble. I don't care what it is. You can't answer it right. Authority. And I'm going to tell you something, young men and women, girls, you're going to be under it all the days of your life. Somebody's. Oh, I'll become a beachcomber. Well, you might do that. You'll wind up somewhere in a jail, and you'll be under the authority of a sheriff somewhere. We can't get out of it. There's no way to get out of it. Whether it be at home, be at school, be in the military, on the job, I don't care where it's at. There's going to be somebody over us with authority. Somebody's got a little more than what we have. Now, can I say this? Somebody said, there ain't no authority over our president. Well, you're ignorant. There is an authority. Amen. That is high above all authorities.
Yes, right.
That has a power over all, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Yeah. And he sets up one and he sets down another. And say amen, amen right there.
Amen.
Anyway, I didn't mention this. Isn't it a blessing that Hannah, though she was provoked, though she was mocked, though she was agitated, she showed nothing but humility. She showed nothing but honoring her husband. And she brought a boy in this world that was highly exalted in the Lord.
Right.
What about that? That's right. Her promise, I've already mentioned it, was honored by the Lord. Chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible said that the Lord, as they rose up the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, returned and came to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. That's exactly right. It was honored, her promise that she said, I'll give you a boy all the days of his life. Of his life, not hers. His life. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God put enough in her heart, Brother Troy, that woman believed that God would take care of that boy and keep him in the will of God, even if she died.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's some pretty good faith, by the way. Mamas, that's real faith. Believing that God will keep your child in the will of God, even when you're gone.
That's right.
Boy, I want that. My boy called me this morning. Didn't call me, he called his mother, but I answered the phone. He said, what do you say there? He called me and said, what are you doing, dude, man? I said, I'm standing here watching the rainfall. What are you doing? He said, I'm on the way to Houston. I said, boy, you better get yourself in the house of God. What are you going to Houston for? He said, Daddy, I'm going to Houston, Missouri. I said, what are you going to Houston, Missouri for? He said, I'm going to go preach. You know how that made me feel? My boy going to preach. Oh, somebody said he's got a big home. Yeah, he's got a big home. Lives in a big home. But I'd rather have him in a little home preaching.
Amen.
I didn't tell him to go preach.
Amen.
But he went and preached. And he said, didn't talk long. He said, is mama there? I said, I'm going to tell her Happy Mother's Day. Tammy called this morning. She does every year. She sung her mother a song. Does it every year. Lisa and Doug come by yesterday. Spend time with her mother. And poor old Doug left with mud stains from his ankles plumb up to his hips from laying sod. He just got there at the right time. They come by to see Mama.
Amen.
When Tammy was a little girl, she used to write, and she said, "Mama, do you love me? Yes or no? Circle one." She'd have yes or no. Miss Hall picked her computer up over there, and there laid a piece of paper on it and said, "Mama, do you love me? Yes or no? Circle one." All the way from a little old child. And still remembers it. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that'd make a man kick like a Missouri mule, son. Amen. Our kids call me every day on Father's Day, every year. Birthdays. And it's wonderful. God gave her the desire of her heart. And the Lord honored that. And she fulfilled it. Her prayer was answered and accepted by the Lord. Then she kept it. The Lord heard her prayer. He accepted her prayer. He answered her prayer. And she kept the promise, the vow. When that little boy was weaned, he got ready 1 year to go, the year he was born to go worship. And Hannah told her husband, said, "You and go on down to Shiloh," and said, "I'll stay here with the boy until he's weaned and then I'll bring him." And when the little fellow was weaned, she brought him to the house of God and said, "Now, son, I made God a promise that I'd give you to him. This is your duty. This is your responsibility. Now, God told me if I'd give him to you, that he'd use you. Now, here you are." And the little fellow stayed right there in Shiloh. And the Bible said he ministered with Eli in the house of God. Done exactly what Mother told him. Her peace, look what it says in verse number 17. Eli answered after her prayer. He told her she is drunk. She says she's not. In verse number 17, then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petitions." She went in peace. Hey, can I say this? When she went in peace, things changed around the house. Now, I'm going to get a little comical now. I can see Penn and I saying, nah, I got children, you ain't. And I just, no more agitation. Just peace on the inside. You know why? God done told her what he was going to do. She knew it. She had that great peace. Amen. Hannah was now settled in her heart and soul. No more agitation. She felt secure. I'm sure there's times she felt like she didn't have a child, that her husband wouldn't love her. He tried to tell her he did. But I'm sure there was times the devil probably told her, "He don't love you. You can't give him children." But now she's settled. She's secure. And she's totally satisfied. She's happy. And then her praise. In chapter, after she took that boy down there, got her prayer answered. Prayer answered, said in chapter 2 and verse number 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now, I'm hurrying. But her prayer, her praise rather, was mingled with faith. Mingled with it. I see her praising the Lord. Rejoice. She's rejoicing. But at the same time, the words that she's saying, you just have to read that whole verse. That praise has got faith mingled in with it. She's praising God. How can you praise God if you don't believe Him?
Amen.
She believed God. Therefore, she was able to praise Him.
Yeah.
And that faith and that praise was mingled together.
Amen.
That's wonderful. If you'll just stop and get a hold of that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We can't praise Him because our faith is just about shot.
That's right.
We don't believe God can do anything anymore.
Well, that's right.
But He can. He's still God.
Amen.
Her prayer magnified the Lord. Look what she said in chapter 2 and verse number 2. The Bible said, "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." And I could go on down through there. She just began to magnify the Lord. Hey, folks, listen, ladies. God's give you them children. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see them do something for God? That you, hey, you could go to your closet, and when you're praying, you're not brokenhearted. She was praying, weeping. Brokenhearted. But she's not weeping and brokenhearted now. She's praying, rejoicing. There's a difference, friend. I've prayed with a broken heart before. Begging God for something I needed, but I've also prayed after God give it to me. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference in it. Hallelujah. You can rejoice in faith. Better believe so.
Yes.
Magnifying the Lord. And then I believe that prayer, that praise manifests her gratitude. I believe she was so thankful.
Yes.
I believe she was so thankful. And then there comes the last, the prophet. God gave her a prophet.
Amen.
And I've already mentioned these many times. But he had great respect for his mother and the vow that she had made. And was visited. Hey, the Bible said that every year Hannah brought him a little coat. I believe he's as proud of that little coat, boy. I believe he put that on and said, "Look what my mama brought me." Do you think he missed her? He missed his mother. She had to go back home, but he had to stay there because her vow kept him there.
Amen.
Now I can imagine that they both, especially when he was a little boy, looked forward to that day every year when Mama would show up. And he knew every year she was going to have that little coat. And you know something? That year that little coat got bigger and bigger and bigger till one day Hannah realized that she didn't have a little boy anymore. That little boy God gave her growing up. He was now a big man. My boy called me today. I called him on Friday. I said, "Happy birthday, old man." He said, "I ain't 40 yet, thank you." I said, "No, but you bumping her close, boy. You're 38. My baby's 38 years old. He's not a baby no more. I remember the day that nurse carried him down that hall and said, "Mr. Hall," said, "would you like to see your son?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure would, but I don't have time now. My wife's in here having a baby." That's the truth if I ever told it. And now he's 38 years old. Now, I'm not going to tell you how old these two girls are. One of them's 29, the other's 28. But they're all grown up. And I'm going to tell you, are you listening to what I'm telling you? You know, there's not a one of them. I've got three children, and there's not a one of them. Not one of them. When they see mommy or daddy, and we say something to them, it's "yes, sir," and "no, sir," and "yes, ma'am," and "no, ma'am." All of them. Even my grandchildren. All the older grandchildren, I don't know about the young ones, how they're going to turn out, but even all of them, it's "yes, sir," and "no, sir." The other day, one of them came to me. Where's that little devil at? "Hey, boy, I'm talking to you." One of them came to me and said, "Where's Tammy?" I said, "Who?" He said, "Oh, I can call her that one up. Sometimes when I want to." I said, well, it's between you and her. But I said, when you're around me, it's mother. He didn't mean no harm. Not one bit. He was repeating what he'd heard somebody else say and call her. That's all. But he still respected his mother. Now he's no, not a little boy. He's a little girl. He's a grown man. And his mama, every year when she comes, hey, I'm sure every year mama brought that little coat. Samuel scratched his head as he got older and said, you know, mama's getting gray. One day he probably thought, mama's getting older like I am. Now, I don't know this. I don't know this. I can't prove it. But I imagine there was a day when some of that family came to Shiloh. Samuel was standing there waiting for his coat. He looked and looked. He may have even asked, where's mama? And one of the siblings had to say, your mother has passed away. She's not with us anymore. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's a heartbreaking time. When mamas leave us. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to love them, you better love them now. For there's a good chance they'll outlive you, children. And there'll come a day when somebody will either knock on your door, ring your telephone, or look you in the face. Say, mama, it's gone. Could you, if that happened today, children, could you look back over your life? Say, I've honored my mother. I've loved my mother. I've obeyed my mother. Could you do that? I hope so. Let's stand together.